So all regenerated followers of Jesus Christ are called then to sincerely and earnestly love one another.
Wonder Lake Bible Church,
building mature followers of Jesus Christ.
Folks, we are continuing today then in our study in the book of 1 Peter. We're calling this Culture Conflict Council. Peter is giving counsel, his wisdom, his advice, his instruction to believers who are undergoing suffering and persecution, undergoing difficulties of many kinds, because they were in conflict with their culture. And if we are faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are faithful followers of Him, if we faithfully follow, obey the truth of His Word in here, it will inevitably result in opposition, perhaps even persecution. We all know there are many of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are experiencing this kind of persecution. But all of us will face opposition of one kind or another if we are faithful in following the Lord Jesus Christ and proclaiming the truth of His Word. So what does Peter have to say to you and to me? How might we be faithful followers of Jesus in a culture which is hostile to the truth of Jesus Christ? Well, one of the things that we can do and we must do as a testimony to this culture, to this world, is even as Jesus commanded us, we must love one another. Scripture tells us that if we are believers in Jesus Christ, we have been regenerated. That is, we have been renewed, made alive. We who were spiritually dead have been made spiritually alive, regenerated. By the way, is there any such thing as an unregenerate follower of Christ? No, there isn't. All genuine believers in Jesus Christ have been made alive by the power of the Holy Spirit, and have the Holy Spirit living in them, indwelling them. The Apostle John makes that very clear, doesn't he? When he says, "What? If you have the Spirit, you have life. If you don't have the Spirit, you don't have life. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. Those who have the Son have the Spirit." So all regenerated followers of Jesus Christ are called then to sincerely and earnestly love one another. How many of you agree with that statement that we ought to love one another? How many of you think that's good, that we ought to do that? Okay. How many of you are doing that right now? Okay. How many of you think you could use a little improvement on the score on that? All right. There you go. That's it. Always room for improvement. That's right. So, as regenerated followers of Christ, we are called to sincerely and earnestly love one another. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 22. Again, Peter has laid out for us this blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that God is to be praised because we have been born again to a living hope, the living hope of our salvation in Christ, the culmination of our redemption. We have an inheritance, imperishable, unfading, unspoiling, that's kept in heaven for us. It's guarded for us by God's power. And in light of that, therefore, how then ought we to live? Well, we're called to be holy. Holy as He is holy. Holy is what? The righteousness of God, the moral goodness of God. And holiness is that perfect balance of all moral virtue. God is holy. And so He calls you and me to be holy as He is holy. The bad news is, we're not as holy as He is holy, are we? But the good news is, One day we will be holy as He is holy. And in one sense, we already are holy as He is holy through our union with Christ. But until we go to Him or He comes to us, we are to grow in holiness. Be holy as He is holy. Peter then goes on to tell us this. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. As Peter tells us, love one another. Love one another sincerely. We're going to talk about sincerely in just a moment here, but let's back up a minute here. He says what? Having purified your souls by obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Love one another sincerely and earnestly. And we can do this because we have purified our souls by obedience to the truth. And I think what Peter is saying there is that when we have been obedient to the truth, that's another way of saying what, that we have believed the gospel. When we have truly believed the gospel, the good news, forgiveness of sin, eternal life in Jesus Christ, there's a result. Something naturally follows from that. A sincere brotherly love. Therefore, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, the moment that you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, your soul was made purified by the power of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now that that has happened, God has done this that we might have a sincere brotherly love and that we might earnestly love one another from a pure heart. So love one another sincerely. Sincerely, what does it mean to be sincere? Truthful, honest, real deal, right? You know, that word sincere there literally means without hypocrisy. Don't love in a hypocritical way. Live without, or love without hypocrisy. What is a hypocrite? A hypocrite is someone who says one thing but does another, right? Comes from this idea of putting on a mask, like a stage actor who's playing a part, a role, a character. In the theater in those days, when you would play a character, you would have this mask that you walk around and you have this mask, and this would identify who you are, your character that you're playing. It was a mask that would cover your face. It was a character. But it wasn't who you really were. You were one person, but the mask indicated another person, another character. So to be a hypocrite means what? To walk around with a mask. We're really one person, but we put forth this image or character that we want others to see. That's a hypocrite. So he tells us, love one another sincerely. That is, love one another without hypocrisy. In other words, what? Real deal love. Not pretending we love. Not saying we love. Not trying to appear as though we love. But loving sincerely. Really sincerely. From a pure heart. A sincere brotherly love. You know, there's a kind of love that binds us together as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That brotherly love, that family of God love. You know, there's different kinds of love for the different people in our lives, different situations, different kinds of relationships. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we are to have this sincere, real deal, unhypocritical family love. Family of God love. Love one another sincerely. Don't pretend you do it. Really love. So our love should be sincere, real. And we also then are to love one another earnestly. Well, if sincere means real deal, what does earnest means? If you're doing something earnestly, what does that mean? You're working hard. You're trying hard to do it, aren't you? How many of you have discovered that there are some things that if it's going to be accomplished, if you're going to do that, it's not going to be easy, and it's going to come at great effort. You're going to have to work earnestly to work hard at it. And that's true with most good things in life, isn't it? I think there's very few good things in life that are just handed to us or given to us so easily. The truly good things in life have to be worked hard at, don't they? And that's especially true with love. We don't just automatically love one another, do we? We don't love one another earnestly. We have to endeavor to do so. Love one another sincerely. Love one another earnestly. Is it ever hard to do that? To love one another sincerely? To love one another earnestly? It is hard. I'm hearing one person say, yes, yes, it is. It's hard to do that, isn't it? You know, there are some people, I'm going to give away a little secret here. Actually, it's not a secret of all. You know, it's an open secret. For all believers in Jesus Christ, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, right? And we're united together. We're bound together. But some people are easier to love than others, aren't they? Okay, I'm going to call on you now, and I want you to tell me who you find the hardest to love in the church right here. Should I do that? No, I'm not going to do that. But you know what I'm going to do? I want you to decide. You don't have to say it out loud, but I'm going to ask you right now, who do you find the hardest to love in this church family? I bet everybody has a name that came to mind, right? And I wouldn't be surprised if the name that came to mind that you thought, that in the mind of that person, your name came to mind, right? So did Jesus tell us, does Peter tell us here, love one another sincerely and earnestly if it's easy to do that and if you kind of like them anyway. No. Sincerely, earnestly, that's everybody. And it's especially the ones that we find difficult to love. And of course, loving one another doesn't mean that we're not going to have our differences. We may even find, you know, there are just certain personalities that we just don't get along as well with that personality as we do with another. And, you know, I think that that's just a fact of life. But we still, though, have the obligation, the command the responsibility to what? To love one another. So what is love? Love is, it's our actions, isn't it? It's shown in our actions. It means that we do loving things, even if it's, especially if it's difficult, if it's hard. That person who has hurt you for the umpteenth time, and you've got to forgive him again. And don't be surprised if somebody out there is forgiving you for the umpteenth time. If someone's forgiving me for the umpteenth time. Love one another sincerely, real deal, earnestly. Work hard at it. Why should we do this? Why should you do this? Why should I do this? Because we've been born again. We've got a whole new life inside us. For you have been born again of imperishable seed. Imperishable, what is it? It can't die, imperishable. It can't die or fade or go away. Just like that wonderful inheritance that we have in heaven that's imperishable, unspoiling, unfading, kept by God's power. Nothing can take that away. But we have been born again of imperishable seed. That is the power of God that cannot die, that cannot fail. That word born again is not understood in our culture, is it? It's not even understood in the church sometimes, is it? People, you misuse the word in the culture all the time. Say, like, if someone has a new lease on life, a new attitude or something, they'll say, what, you've been born again. But is that the biblical understanding? But just to have a new attitude about something? Well, if you are born again, there are going to be some new attitudes there. But just having a new attitude doesn't mean you've been born again, does it? No. Biblically, to be born again means what? It means to go from a place of spiritual death to life, new life, born anew, a whole new life. We were born once into this world, physically, weren't we? We all got physical life when we were born the first time. And we come into this world. When we're born again, we get new life, spiritual life, and we're born into the family of God. So to be born again is a new life. It's to be regenerated, to have new life. For you have been born again of imperishable seed by the power of God. And specifically, how did God bring you to himself? Well, we'd say it was through the imperishable seed of the power of God, of God's Spirit. But specifically, through the eternal Word of God. How many of you know that this is not just any old book right here? If you were in Life of Christ this morning at Wonder Lake Bible Institute, we had quite a lot to say about what the message of this book, of the supernatural power of this book, of the supernatural power of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is revealed in the pages of this book. Jesus is not just any man. He's not just some teacher or prophet. He is the Son of God and the Savior, who worked mighty, wonder-working, powerful miracles to demonstrate who he is and what he's come to do. And it's all verified by that greatest miracle of all, the resurrection. It all stands or falls on the resurrection, doesn't it? That's what the Word of God tells us. For you have been born again. You have new life. You've got a whole new life, spiritual life. by God's power through the eternal Word of God. And Peter quotes Isaiah here. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls. That's true, isn't it? You know, we're about to go into another winter here. And so the grass out there, it's had its glory, hasn't it? Boy, we had some really rainy periods this summer, didn't we? And boy, that grass really grew high and fast. And it had its glory days, didn't it? It had its life. But in the end, it's going to wither. And that grass out on the lawn there is going to wither soon. The flowers, boy, we have some beautiful flowers down the front, don't we, Cindy? We sure do. Are those flowers going to last forever? No. We have to tend them carefully, don't we? And then let them go, and then plant new ones, right? And then they're just going to die too, aren't they? See, and that's the way of human beings. That's the way of all things human, all flesh. All of us are like that grass. And our glory is like the flower. The grass withers, the flower falls. But there is something that is eternal. And that eternal thing is the Word of God. The eternal God and His Word. So love one another sincerely, real deal, earnestly, hard, work at it. Why? Because you've been born again. You have a whole new life given to you by the power of God through the eternal Word of God. And that Word is the good news that was preached to you. Somebody preached that good news to you. Now, they may not have preached like standing up on a Sunday morning in a pulpit like this, but they preached it to you. Maybe they read some scripture to you. Or maybe they told you the story of what God had done in their lives. But some, most likely, I know sometimes God saves people apart from anyone. God just speaks directly to them. But most of the time, somebody told us, right? This word is the good news that was preached to you. You think this demands a response? I do. And Peter does too. And so he says, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. So love one another sincerely and earnestly. Why? Because you've been born again through the power of God, through the eternal Word of God that was preached to you. Well, so what? Well, put away then. Put away, put away destructive attitudes and behaviors. Boy, all of these things, let's look at it again there in verse 1. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander. All of these things are destructive attitudes and behaviors, aren't they? You might say these things are all the opposite of love, aren't they? These things are the opposite of sincere, earnest love. I've been asking, how do you define sincere, earnest love? Well, you know what? We'll start by looking at what it isn't. And then come back. Malice. What is malice? It's, if something is malicious, it's what? It's with evil intent. Evil things. Harmful things. Hateful things. destructive things. Deceit is what? It's lying. Being untruthful. Hypocrisy. Well, there's that word again. Right? Putting on a mask, pretending to be one thing, when the truth within us is another. Envy. Anybody here ever been envious? I've been envious. I've looked around at things that other people have had, and I wished I had that. And you know what we're doing when we're being envious? You know what we're telling God? Your plan for me or your purposes for me or what you have given me isn't good enough. I want what somebody else has. So when we're envious, we're criticizing God, what God has done for us or what God has given us. But you know what else we're doing? We're setting ourselves up for continuous disappointment. How many of you have discovered that the more things that you accumulate, the more it doesn't just even have to be material things. It can be accomplishments. It can be all kinds of different things. We can be envious not only of what people have, but what people are, what they do. And the more and more we try to accumulate those things, possessions, accomplishments, relationships, there's still this empty hole in us that's never satisfied, is it? How many times do we see these stories of people that would seem to have it all? Money, fame, power, relationships, seemingly good relationships, and yet it was not enough for them. They're miserable. Why? Because we were never made to be satisfied by the things of this life. I'm not saying that the things of this life are all evil in and of themselves and wrong. They're not. God has made good things for us, and He gives good gifts to His children. But the problem is when we're seeking those things, pursuing those things as an end, they never satisfy. So put away malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. Boy, I like the fact it starts with that slander. And how many of you know where I'm going with this? Slander, right? Almost sounds like it's coming from directly from the pit of hell, from Satan himself, right? What is slander? Well, it literally means what to speak evil of someone. To speak in a damaging way of their character. Ruin someone's reputation. Slander them. Speak evil of them. It's awfully hard for us to love sincerely and earnestly if we're engaging in malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander, right? And by the way, this stuff in verse 1, all those things, these destructive attitudes and behaviors, that never happens in the church. That's only out there in the big bad world, right? No, unfortunately it does, and that's why Peter is telling believers, hey, believers, knock it off. So if we look at those things, what's the other side of it then? What is sincere, earnest love is what then? Instead of malice, it's harboring good things, good attitudes about others. Instead of deceit, it's what? Speaking truth. But speaking the truth in love. Instead of hypocrisy, it's integrity, sincerity. Instead of envy, it's what? Contentment. And instead of slander, it's what? Encouragement. Love. This is sincere, earnest love. So put away destructive attitudes and behaviors. And by the way, there's something here that will help us to do that. Peter tells it right here. It's the Word of God. There's power. There's power in the Word of God, isn't there? It tells us to long for it. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk. Babies get fussy sometimes, don't they? And oftentimes when they're fussy, well, it usually means a few things. I won't go into all, you know what they are, but oftentimes one of them is what? They're hungry, right? They're longing for their milk. And they won't be satisfied until they get it. They're going to keep crying until they get it. And that's what we're told, to long for the pure spiritual milk of what? Of the Word of God, God's truth. Just like the baby that will cry and cry and cry until he finally receives that milk. We are to long for the Word of God, earnestly desire it. How many of you believe that God answers prayer? Anybody here? I'll tell you something. There are some of us in this church, and I know, well, it's not just this one person. There are some others as well. But I know one person has especially had a burden for this and has been praying for this for a very, very long time. And you don't know it, but this secret agent has been praying for you, and I'm seeing results, whether you like it or not. Okay? You may have even have seen it in the bulletin. But in there, and it's been there for a while now, is a prayer for what? That the people here in this church would what? Would hunger for the Word of God. Have a passion for that. Not be satisfied with anything else. Hunger for the Word of God. And you know what? I'm seeing the evidence of that now, of God's answer to that in you. I see the hunger in many of you to understand God's Word. And not just understand it in your head, but understand it in your heart so that you can act on it in faith, obedience. I see a growing hunger or longing for the pure spiritual milk, for the Word of God here. So love sincerely and earnestly. Why? Because you've been born again by the power of God through the eternal Word of God. Therefore, put away these destructive attitudes and behaviors. These don't represent love at all, do they? And long for the Word of God. Great, what do you want me to do? I think I've already told you. What I want you to do? Well, I remind us what, as regenerated followers of Christ, and all true followers of Christ are regenerated, they've been born again by the power of God and dwelt by the Holy Spirit. As regenerated followers of Christ, we are called to sincerely and earnestly love one another. Do you think God ever commands us to do something that we can't do? Well, in one sense, yes, he does. If by that we mean he tells us all the time things that we ourselves in our own flesh can't do, right? But he does command us to do things that, not in our flesh, but how? In the power of the Spirit who lives within us, that we can do. You can sincerely and earnestly love. I can sincerely and earnestly love. Now, I want you to know, I have not arrived at that pinnacle of perfection just yet. And I have a sneaking suspicion I'm not going to arrive at that this side of heaven. And I know for a fact none of you are, okay? None of us are going to arrive there at that pinnacle of perfect love this side of heaven. But I do know that we're called to grow in that love. And I also know that one day we will know that perfect love in His presence. So I'd ask you then today, is your love sincere and earnest? Is it real deal? Or are you just putting on a show, pretending to love? Or are you choosing to love, especially when it's hard? Is that love then demonstrated in your attitudes and your actions? It's not malice or deceit or hypocrisy or envy or slander. It's what? It's goodness. It's truth. It's integrity. It's contentment. It's encouragement. Goodness. Truth. Integrity. Contentment. Encouragement. I know how you can do all those things. It's through the power of God, the Spirit in you, as we long for this pure spiritual milk, the Word of God, the eternal Word of God. See, that's how God changes us. We don't decide to get better or be better, but rather we are transformed. We're changed from within by the renewing of our minds. And how are our minds renewed? The power of the Word of God, right? So love one another sincerely, earnestly, for you have been born again through the power of the eternal Word of God. Therefore, let's put away all those things: malice, deceit, envy, slander. And long for the pure spiritual milk, the Word of God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you have done all the heavy lifting for us. You've saved us who were completely unable to save ourselves. And you also produce the fruit of your Spirit, the fruit of righteousness and holiness in character and conduct. That's also something we can't do ourselves. That's also a powerful and mighty work of your Spirit. But you do tell us, though, Lord, to believe, to obey you, to submit, to yield to your Spirit. So, Lord, we want to be men and women who sincerely and earnestly love one another. We thank you that we have been born again by the imperishable, eternal Word of God. So Lord, convict us. Convict us of any sinful attitudes that we might have toward another. Any sinful attitudes, any sinful words, any sinful behavior. Convict us, Lord, that we might confess it and repent of it. And make restitution where that needs be. Seek reconciliation where that needs be. And Lord, may we continue to eagerly, eagerly hunger for your word, for your truth. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.